It's gonna get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Testing. Whoa, that's loud. They must have given me a new microphone. It is the Joe and Alex Show. We are live. It is the 7th of January, 2019. I don't write checks, but I already messed up. I was doing something and I put 18.
Oh.
I hate doing that. I think I'll be doing that forever. But yes, good morning. We are the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Happy holidays. That's over, but happy new year, right? We're still into that.
Yeah.
About another couple of days left for the first week of 2019. I got to be honest with you guys. Alex is going to be like, hell no. I wanted to come back like a week ago.
I
don't do vacation well. I love vacation. It doesn't matter who I'm with. Friends, family, people I don't like, it don't matter. I just love the show so much. Maybe that's not good because I need to have more in my life. But, man, it's so good to be back here. I really missed you guys.
Do you think it was because you missed us or do you think you were just really sick and tired of hanging out with your wife, Lindsay, every day?
How was your time, Alex?
Oh, see?
No, I love my wife, Lindsay. We actually got a lot of good stuff going on.
Oh, I thought about, like, not talking about this in the first break of the day.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you haven't said anything yet.
Well, I just, you know, whatever. I'll just put it out there. A lot of people were wanting to know, like, what my Christmas situation was going to be like because I had talked about on the show how I had a really big falling out with my family, and so I wasn't going to be, you know, talking to them for Christmas, and I kind of, like, uninvited myself to Christmas and said I wasn't going to go. And I did not go. So I stuck with that. I didn't go and nobody talked to me. And so I had pretty much the worst Christmas, not to be a downer, but the worst Christmas of my life just because it was so unbelievably lonely. And I haven't like Googled it or anything. But I'm pretty sure I went through a couple days of, like, situational depression, which I don't...
I'm kidding. I don't want you to cry yet.
No, I'm not going to cry. But I feel like maybe I was even going through a couple days of just situational depression based on, like, what I was going through because, oh, my gosh, it was, like, I was not in a good headspace. Like, yeah, maybe one day I will be able to talk about that more. But it was so bad.
I wanted to message you so bad because I just, like, if people don't know, my dad passed away, like, 11 years ago just after Christmas. So I hate the holidays. I love Christmas. I do.
Yeah.
But no matter what I do, I can take medicine, pills, talk to a therapist. I just have this hole in me and it sucks.
It's hard.
I know you haven't lost anybody, but I thought like being alone without your family or somebody like that, that is very tough.
Well, I had to go through different like things during this time off, having to deal with my family and not talking to them and stuff. And like my boyfriend, the Egyptian, was asking me, you know, about it. And he said, which I thought was a really good point, it's almost like I am grieving a loss. Because I pretty much said to my family, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, so don't talk to me. They haven't talked to me. So it is kind of like mourning someone who's passed away, number one. And number two, I then had to go through, you know, thinking about all the things like he was talking to me about it. And I was like, you know what? I probably won't have anyone to walk me down the aisle at my own wedding.
If things keep
going down, like the road that they're down, like I won't even have like my immediate family at my own wedding one day either.
Whenever you're ready, so we should talk about this. Maybe not today, but we should talk about this.
So yeah, now, so on a more of a better mood, now I'm in the mode of trying to plan a trip to LA for the end of this week because now my boyfriend's brother is getting married.
Oh, that's cool.
So at the end of this week, I'll be in LA, which is kind of exciting, but I did have to eat it and pay for $500 for a plane ticket to go to LA because I waited too long.
Oh.
And it cost freaking $500 to go out there.
But you know what? Think about the money you saved for your family members that you didn't get gifts.
There you go.
Hey, there's a silver lining. Pork chop. What's up with you, man?
Well, real quick, Alex, I just want to let you know, if you think that you won't have someone to walk you down the aisle at your wedding, you will have a DJ at your wedding.
You're so sweet.
And I will be the flower girl or I will be one of the ushers.
And I'll go to
LA too.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah, just please make sure it's like local within the area. Don't go out of the country because you know I'm cheap.
Oh, the Egyptian refuses to get married anywhere besides here, so.
Thank you, Egyptian. Thank you.
Hey, I am stressing today.
Why?
Because I just found out that my apartment complex is accidentally charging me the wrong price. So now I have to go have like a conversation
more
about.
More than they should be or less?
Yeah, more.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
But I've already signed the lease. So like, what do I do?
How much more are we talking? Like, is it $5 or is it like 150?
Yeah, I mean, is it a lot of money?
30.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Don't
it might be worth, I would say it might be worth bringing up, but if they say no because you did technically sign the lease, I don't think you can be too upset.
But what's 30 times 12? That's how I'm looking at it.
You never sign anything without double checking it, first of all.
I'm glad to see you in the new year, but don't come after my title of like the cheapest guy in the world.
I wasn't going to say how much it was. You're the ones that asked.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, we're so glad you're here. Make sure you join the show. It's 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. You can also hit us up on social media. Give us a follow and tell your friends about it, too, on Twitter and Instagram. It is at Joe and Alex Show, and everything's online. It's at joeandalexshow.com. You can check that out. Coming up next, we'll find out what's happening in the garbage. A lot's been going on since we've been off. We talk about that and everything else. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. So, are you ready?
I'm so ready for the first garbage.
We've got a brand new open. Listen.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Cardi B and Offset had a lot of drama in 2018, but their friends are confident they'll be together again soon. Sources close to the hip-hop couple say they've been communicating regularly and are focusing on fixing their marriage. They said Offset is vowing to change his ways and be faithful. Cardi is still not wearing her wedding ring. Friends say that she's not emotionally ready to put it back on quite yet. She's also expected to release a new song and another one with Bruno Mars.
That'd be cool.
Another big artist later this month. The song is expected to be out January 25th, although it could be pushed back because of her busy schedule. The rapper has also promised to release a new album in 2019, but it isn't known if the Bruno collaboration will be on it. So I guess two new songs, one with Bruno, who she's worked with before for Finesse, and then now another one with another big artist that we don't know of. On Friday, Ellen DeGeneres made a big push for Kevin Hart to host the Oscars. He had stepped away from the job weeks ago after someone found some old homophobic tweets that came back to haunt him. And during his interview with her on Friday, she revealed that she had actually called the Academy herself on his behalf to appeal for a second chance.
I called the Academy today because I really want you to host the Oscars. I said, Kevin's on. I have no idea if he wants to come back and host, but what are your thoughts? And they were like, oh my God, we want him to host. We feel like that maybe he misunderstood or it was handled wrong or maybe we said the wrong thing, but we want him to host. Whatever we can do, we would be thrilled.
Kevin talked about feeling attacked by the resurfacing of his old tweets.
It's tough for me because it was an attack. This wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence that the day after I received the job, tweets just somehow manifested.
And Ellen told him not to let the negative people win.
You know, as a gay person, I am as sensitive to all of that. And I talked to you about this. And you've already expressed that it's not being educated on the subject, not realizing how dangerous those words are, not realizing how many kids are killed for being gay or beaten up every day. You have grown. You have apologized. You're apologizing again right now. You've done it. Don't let those people win.
Since then, she's been hit with a backlash pretty big online, and some fans don't understand why she's supporting him.
I saw some people, it's like, oh, thanks, Ellen, for speaking for me as a gay man. Like some different people
she's
that are upset
stupid.
About it. But
so stupid.
I agree, because listen, I'm not proud of everything I've done in my past, some things, but it's like, eventually, if people apologize and take that route and admit what they actually did, don't just try to cover it up. When do you forgive them? You got to move on, right?
Right. There is a weird mentality right now going on of everyone unleash the mob. Everyone should be fired from their jobs. Nobody can apologize anymore. You can't accept someone genuinely saying sorry, which I don't understand. And two, we are the first generation that has an entire digital footprint from our entire life.
As soon as you're born,
you are kidding yourself if you don't think that you are next in this, because all of us have been online since we were in like middle school. And of course, all of us have probably said some stupid things before. And I will go ahead and say it. When I was in middle school,
don't say what you said. Don't say that.
Well, it's not. It's like everyone would say, like talking about something negative, like everyone would say, oh, that's so gay.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, I mean, I'll admit it. I said that too. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was so dumb.
It was years after I graduated high school that we started realizing, like, oh, that's really offensive. Like, you shouldn't say that. And so then we were like, oh, and then people stopped saying that. But that was a big thing everybody said. And it's like, if all those old posts came out or something, you know what I mean? You're not going to understand that people have growth and go through learning that things are wrong to say.
Can we have our Ellen, like our gay representative or bi representative Porkchop chime in on this? Because that way you can represent everybody.
I actually was just going to say, I remember the first time that I thought that it was not okay to say,
yeah,
that's gay. And I specifically got called out from a gay guy.
Yeah, like, I did too. It was my first job that I had ever worked, and the guy was an older gay waiter. Mm-hmm. And I just very flippantly had said, he told me like he had a really bad table or something. I said, oh, that's so gay. And then mm-hmm. I said, I looked at him and it just clicked for me, and I said, I am so mm-hmm. sorry. I did not realize how offensive that sounds.
Yep.
And he was just like, it's okay. And he was very forgiving.
When Porkchop,
but no one wants to be forgiving anymore.
When Porkchop first got here, I took him out to the bar the night before we actually work, and somebody says something, I think too, it's like, oh yeah, that's so gay. I'm like, oh my god, Porkchop's bisexual. What if that offends him? Do I have to fight the guy now?
Didn't I tell you like it doesn't bother me?
Yeah, but I was like, oh crap, I gotta fight for my man's honor over
yeah.
here.
No, I mean, some people it bothers, but not me.
Porkchop isn't easily offended. Disgraced actor and accused sexual predator Kevin Spacey is set to be arraigned in a Nantucket, Massachusetts court today on charges of sexual assault against a then 18-year-old restaurant employee. But he's already plotting his Hollywood would come back. A source says he's getting offers still from Europe and Russia, and he just assumes he'll come back to American film in a few years.
What if he does? I don't think he will, but what if? Just like him and Harvey Weinstein, like, what if,
so
what if
so
they
mad.
Come back?
I will be so mad.
Could you imagine?
Wendy Williams is delaying her return to the Wendy Williams Show. She was scheduled to return to her talk show today, but now she's not going to come until next Monday. I guess she like hurt her shoulder or something. She fractured it, and they said that she's on the mend and wants to return pain-free and be 200% delivering the best show that millions of viewers tune in to watch. So if you're expecting to watch Wendy today, you're going to have to wait another week. Coming up in less than an hour, the biggest scandals at the Golden Globes last night, and of course, this rapper put his foot in his mouth while talking about R. Kelly.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
Okay, we're a little past the holiday season now, but apparently half of us in this room still have things we have to give out. Porkchop's got a birthday gift that he never gave me. My birthday, by the way, was about a month ago. So
not quite, yeah, a little less than a month ago.
So, and I swear to you guys, I ordered a Christmas present, but it just got here last week.
I'm very confused because you gave us Christmas presents.
But there was something else I was going to give. Like, you gave me multiple gifts.
Oh.
I had multiple. I was going deep on this one. And, well, you might be surprised. It's coming up in about 6 minutes here on the Joe and Alex Show. Good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's a Monday music marathon, which means, hey, you're just going to hear our soothing. Some would say sexy. Some would say mysterious voices. I guess repulsive is also another word that's been thrown out there.
Yeah, especially about me.
No, yours is very mysterious.
At least it's back to normal now. I lost my voice a couple weeks ago.
You sounded like Porkchop before when he had that throat surgery.
Yeah, he was bad and I was bad. But now I'm pretty back to normal.
Okay, well, check this out. It is way past due, but real quick, why don't we do a little gift exchange here? Because my birthday was about a month ago, and Alex, thanks for the gift. Porkchop never got me a birthday gift.
Well, you know what? I came up with a great idea. The gift I got you that you opened for Christmas, that was actually your birthday gift, so that was only 2 weeks late. Now, this gift right here, I wrapped in Christmas paper, so this will be your Christmas gift, so this is only 2 weeks
late. Okay, because I was kind of wondering, you ever see people that like, hey, I'm going to buy you a star. I honestly thought he'd come in with that. Like, I bought you a star in the sky.
No, dude, I've had this. This is actually really good, and I've had this planned for a while.
Okay, well, can I open it?
Yeah. Do you remember what it is, Alex? I told
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're really going to like this.
Oh, I will.
It's probably
so
going to be your favorite
jealous.
Gift.
My boyfriend is so jealous. He wanted it. He's like, I'm taking it.
Well, I don't know if I want one.
So, yeah, this is your Christmas star or your birthday present.
Will it break?
Yeah, don't shake
oh, sorry.
It. What are you
sorry.
Doing?
I didn't know.
No, I'm kidding.
No. I got to be honest, going back to Christmas, you are not a good rapper compared to Alex.
Hey,
I'm not a good rapper.
Don't look at the box. Don't look at the box. It's going to give it away too
okay,
early.
Well, open the present, but don't look at the thing that it's in. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
I should have put it in a generic box.
Okay. Can I open the
yeah,
box?
Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing good.
Open in the box.
Open the flaps.
Okay.
All right. Take it out. You can look now.
Ooh, it feels like a hat.
But look at it, look at it.
Oh my God, dude. If I was into dudes, I'd make love to you right now. No, this is dope. It's a snapback, like a hat, and it's got like my home state. I'm from Michigan originally. I kind of grew up east of Lansing, Michigan. And this thing is dope, dude. I love hats.
Isn't
oh my
that
gosh.
So dope?
It's like the,
what's that style?
It's the shape of the state of Michigan on the front of the hat, but the shape of Michigan is like an American flag.
Yeah.
Like print. It's
America.
It's like the color is what? Like some sort of faded... I don't know. What's that color called, Alex? It's like wood color.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what it is, but this thing is awesome.
It's charcoal. The hat is charcoal. Yeah, it's really cool.
God, we should have done this this last. Okay. This could only happen to me. I legit tried to order this for everybody because maybe we don't use them, but I thought it'd be cool if we all had like something uniform as a team. For me, Alex, Porkchop, Live the Web Girl, who's on vacation still. God, does that girl ever work?
Is it something you wear?
No.
Oh.
It's gonna
you
be kinda,
a uniform for us.
No, hold on. It's gonna be kind of obvious when I pull them out of here.
Did you get it at Express?
No, I did not.
Oh.
Okay, that's mine. I get to keep that one. Hold on. Ooh. Okay, she's not here. Can't do that for her. Hold on. Hold on. Ooh. Alex.
It's a mug. Wow. Oh, cute.
Now
here's, I love that.
Now describe it for everybody, because it. It's so screwed up, it hurts my heart.
Okay, so it's a mug, and it has Dude. Each of our names on it, and then it has the Joe and Alex Show logo, which you can see on Instagram if you want, at Joe and Alex Show. But what's funny is that
see?
The printing company that made the cup, so our logo has a black background,
mm-hmm.
but they like only wrapped it around for part of the cup, so part of it is white, and the rest of it is black.
It would look so dope, because I got like the colored inside, so the whole thing is black,
no,
and our logo
so
there.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I didn't do it to your guys's and you're lucky. I thought, well, what can I do to fill in the rest of the black? Any idea what I did? Because I have my mug right here in my hand I'm about to show you.
Would you color
it? A picture
it?
Of yourself?
I tried using a Sharpie.
Oh my
gosh.
Terrible,
dude.
So I'm sorry I got screwed up, but I even did it because I believe you guys are right-handed and I'm left-handed, so I did mine left-handed, but I think yours is like that. So you can use it, put stuff in it, but it looks cool if they would have done the whole thing.
That was smart.
So
I love
this
it.
This is so cool. No, cool. And I think it's cool with the little bit of white strip. It's like artistic. It looks modern.
Well, I'm glad you guys are into it because I was pissed when I got that.
Thank
no way.
You very much.
Yeah,
dude, that's so cool.
Awesome. I'll put a photo of this so you can laugh at it all and you can see what Porkchop got me too, which is dope, on our Instagram. So go follow us right now at Joe and Alex Show. All right. Time for Joe's Need to Know News here on the Joe and Alex Show. Alex, you talked about taking a flight to LA soon. This might mess your thing up. TSA screeners are working at airports across the country, but they're currently not collecting a paycheck at the moment because, obviously, if you missed it over the break, the government shutdown's still happening. At Kennedy Airport, more than 150 TSA employees called in sick on Friday.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine the line for that, what that would be like?
I wonder if I'm going to have to leave way earlier for my flight than later this week.
I feel like you should, because it would suck if you miss your flight. A spokesman for the TSA downplayed the whole thing, saying, listen, this whole calling in sick thing, it's just something that happens with the flu season and the holiday season. But, you know, he said security effectiveness will not be compromised and performance standards will not change. He did say that the wait times may increase if the call-ins continue. My buddy works in Houston, and he is a flight director up in the tower.
Right.
And he's not getting paid. He's been reporting to work.
Wow.
But he's not getting paid.
Yeah, that sucks.
So that kind of sucks. Our thoughts, anybody that's a government worker and not getting paid, hopefully those bills will not pile up on you. Cops in California, this is insane, are looking for a woman who bit a jogger at the park. The jogger first had to use pepper spray to fend off an attack by the woman's dog. Then the woman tackled the woman and punched her several times. So imagine this, you're fighting off a dog coming at you. Then the person comes at you, starts attacking you, and then when she gets you to the ground, she bites you. She bites you, not the dog.
Wow.
She bites you. Yeah, they are looking for her. The victim tried to push the woman off her, but got bit on the forearm. So she's going to be okay. They're obviously going to give her like a rabies or whatever check to make sure she doesn't have any diseases. Did you watch any sports this weekend, Alex? Are you a big sports fan?
No, I didn't. But I know there was a huge game, the Texans versus the Colts, which was big because we are in both Indianapolis and Houston.
Yeah, talk about being torn. It's like, well, who do you cheer for? I don't post anything. Well, for that game, yeah, the Colts beat the Texans. That was a tough one right there. 21-7, the final for that. But the thing everybody is talking about, which happened last night, is the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the Chicago Bears 16-15 after the Chicago kicker, a young kid named Cody Park, Parkey, I'm saying it wrong, missed a 43-year-old field goal with 10 seconds left in the game. Listen to the field goal where the ball is hitting the post.
43-yard attempt from the right hash mark. Impossible.
Like, everybody wants this kid to die, pretty much. I'm like, let the kid...
I don't get it, because I don't understand
He
sports.
Kicked the ball, like, you know the thing... What do you call the thing in the end zone?
A U on a stick?
Yeah, the U on the stick, that you call it. He hit the left side of the U.
Yeah.
Then it bounced down and hit the middle part of the U.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't go through. So,
oh, that
so,
sucks.
So that means that the Eagles beat the Bears.
Ooh.
And they could have won the game if it would have went through the U on a stick.
Ooh, but you can't help that. That is, like, a crazy, you
But
know,
that's
anomaly.
His job, Alex. That's his only job is, is to kick balls.
Oh, I feel bad for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, everybody hates him now.
I know. I feel bad for him. But at the same time, it's like, dude, you had one job. Other football stuff, the Cowboys, Chargers, and as you mentioned, the Colts all advance in the NFL playoffs. So they'll be playing again this weekend. A new survey found it takes the average person, I would say that could be us, 4 days to get back into their routine once the holidays are over. Now, if you count New Year's Day, that's what I would say. It's kind of the last holiday. We're now on day number 6. And here are some of the big things, and you can contribute. Let me know what makes it hard for you to readjust. They say maybe the weather is kind of depressing, not the greatest. The days are still short, even though we're getting longer days. It's still dark outside, so that kind of sucks. Also, you kind of feel like, you know, you're so lazy and sluggish, you don't feel like you're ready to get up and move again. And another thing they put in there too, it's like, you're like, well, when's my next holiday? Because that's what I think about. I'm like, wait a minute, I just was off for like, it felt like a year. When do I get a break again? Never.
Ooh.
You guys have a hard time readjusting? I couldn't go to bed last night. I honestly got like 1.5 hours sleep.
I didn't have a great night's sleep last night.
Yeah, I know. I got like 4 or 5 hours.
Gosh, I'm so jealous. I think I'll be good today because I'm like running off coffee and adrenaline, and then eventually it'll recalibrate.
See,
and I'll be
I'm
feeling
not because The Bachelor premieres tonight, and that's a 3 hour premiere.
Hold on, 3 hours?
Which
what are they gonna
too
do?
Too long, dude. That's like Titanic. Remember whenever you had to like take out the VHS tapes of Titanic, put the next one in because it was so long.
Oh, I was so mad when people didn't rewind that. I'm like, dude,
yeah.
I don't have time to rewind this.
So I'm gonna feel that tomorrow morning.
How unkind of you. All right, that's Joe's Need to Know News. You can check it out at joeandalexshow.com. Hey, coming up next here on the Joe and Alex Show, we're gonna continue a Monday music marathon for you. But also, we want to hear from you because I don't know about you guys, but I did a lot of binge watching of Netflix and Hulu over our little break we had. And I am like, I got some shows I got to share with you guys. Did you watch anything?
Of course.
Okay, cool. We'll do that coming up on the Joe and Alex Show. You can also join in the conversation if you got something. 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. Or shoot us a tweet at Joe and Alex Show and let us know what we should check out. Well, good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's a Monday music marathon. We're keeping it going all morning long for you here. Follow the Joe and Alex Show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Joe and Alex Show. And call in to join in this conversation or anything. 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. Yeah, I feel bad for my couch in my bed.
Ew, why?
Well, it's got like a big butt cheek mark in it.
Because you didn't move?
I didn't do much on our little break around the holiday, and I watched a ton of Netflix and a little bit of Hulu. I'm wondering what show over the break, whatever time you had off, did you binge watch? Maybe something you usually watch, maybe something new. 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539, or send us a tweet at Joe and Alex Show. Did everybody hear, kind of a big movie, did everybody watch Bird Box?
Yes.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Bird Box?
So dumb.
It was good. It wasn't, I mean, amazing. It wasn't the best movie I've ever seen. I didn't think it was scary at all.
Yeah, I didn't think it was scary either. I give it like, if you're going to give like stars, I'll say 3 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I would do 3.5.
2.5 for me.
Well, if we're like rating it on birds, like the American, you know, like bald eagles number one, I'd give it like one bald eagle instead of five.
It was okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the acting. I don't know. It was.
Oh, the acting was fine with me.
No, I don't know. It was weird.
Okay. For me, I thought it was okay, but that's a big thing. One thing I tried to watch, Liv the Web Girl, who's on vacation, she recommended, and I'll say it the best way I can for the radio. It's called Spitz Creek. It's a little thing on Netflix. Have you watched it, Alex? She told you to watch it.
So she did tell me to watch it. And so over the break, I tried watching it. I watched the first episode. Couldn't even finish it because I hated it so much.
Okay. I actually think for once I agree with you. I'm five episodes in. They're only 20 minutes each.
Ew.
And I don't get the humor.
Like, it is so, so awful. And I was like, I'm never taking advice from Liv the Web Girl again.
To be honest, that might actually be a good idea.
It was so horrible. I was like, how did she think I would ever like this?
Cassie, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What did you watch over the break?
So we binge-watched The Last Kingdom on Netflix.
What is The Last Kingdom?
So it's about like the Saxons and the pagans, and it's really kind of gory. I guess one of my friends kind of compared it to the Game of Thrones, but
ooh.
I think it's like 20 times better.
Okay, do they burn witches, or am I totally off?
They didn't burn witches, but it was in there.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. It's good to hear from you. Hey, guess what?
What?
You're the first caller of 2019. Way to go. Yep. Make sure you call back in about a year, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, you have a good one. Other things that I like to watch was, I'm actually addicted to this now. I'm going to talk about this probably later in the week for what I'm into. Tidying Up, and I'm going to say her name wrong. It's called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo or something.
I saw somebody else post about
this. Have you seen
this? No. I saw somebody else,
Alex,
talk about it, though.
You like to follow things on Instagram, you've told me, where it's really awesome and organized.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I've already changed. Me and Lindsay have connected my wife on this. I think I'm going to lose all my anxiety with clutter now.
Oh, yeah, because you hate how disorganized she keeps
it
everything.
It gives me, like, my blood pressure and everything goes up, yes.
So what are the tips and tricks for organization?
Yes, she speaks, she shows you, she has a translator because she's Japanese, and it's absolutely amazing. It's called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. I'm probably saying it wrong. And the other show that I watched was Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back. I call it, like, a poor man's bar rescue with John Taffer.
I don't like cooking shows.
I watched like six episodes, but I really just made me think I really want to be able to start watching Bar Rescue if they ever make new episodes. But I binge watched all that over break.
You know, I never ever binge watch anything. Like, I think I've been binge watched The Walking Dead years ago, but over the break I did binge watch something, but I kind of want to save it for Wednesday as well.
For what you're into?
For what we're into.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what it is. It was Manifest.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Is that the show you like about the plane crash?
I think it's back tonight. But I
have
I have to watch it on Tuesdays because it's way too late for my bedtime, yes.
You watched?
I have not watched that.
You should watch that before you take a flight to LA this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just before you take off, like, oh, Manifest, wonderful. Okay.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Hey, coming up next, do you guys do real trees for the holidays, for Christmas, or do you get a fake tree?
I didn't have one.
Okay, well, that's depressing. Thank you. God, everybody's bringing the mood down today. I'm telling you right now, after you hear this story, you will never get a fake, never get a real Christmas tree again. This is just, it involves bugs. How about that? It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, and let's set the mood real quick.
Oh, Christmas tree,
singing Aretha, come on, girl.
How lovely are the branches.
Okay, I know like the holidays are over, but here's something that really creeps me out. We have a fake tree in our house, and I like it. There's no needles that you have to pick up, no sap. That's kind of my thing. I've had a real tree before, and I thought it was nice as a novelty.
I'm a real tree person. I have to have a real tree because of the smell, and it just, everything about it is so much better.
All right, I'm about to change your world because you're going to get a fake tree this coming year, okay? Over 100 praying mantises.
Ew.
Yep, see, I already got you. 100 praying mantises snuck into a home. This happened in Virginia because of a Christmas tree. The praying mantises popped out of a brown egg case, which was under the tree's branches.
Don't
which
say egg.
Which nobody saw when they trapped the tree down and brought it in.
Ew.
Luckily, the homeowner, I guess, is a vet, and they know about insects and animals, and she's actually feeding them fruit flies and hoping to give them to someone who wants them. So she has now in her house 100 praying mantises.
Okay, well, she was the right person to get that then, because obviously she's mentally and physically able to handle that. But I would not be.
But she said next year she's getting a fake tree.
Yeah.
See, would that not turn you off? Could you imagine that?
If that happened to me, yes. But until that happens, I'm still going to do a real tree.
Oh my gosh, it reminds me of Christmas Vacation. I'm wondering if anybody actually had this happen. 833-JOE-ALEX, where you found something in your Christmas tree, kind of like this person found praying mantises.
Like a bird or something?
Yes, like a bird nest. You're like, ooh, ooh, like what the hell is that? 833-563-2539. Like Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon, it's one of my favorite. When they find a squirrel, because they cut the tree down out in the wild.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Squirrel! They're running all around the house. The dogs are chasing it. Like, could you? That would freak me out. And I'm not really scared by bugs. Like, I'm the man in the house that has to kill everything.
Right.
For my wife. But Alex, if there was like 100 praying mantises, like, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah, that would
looking
be disgusting.
At me,
what if they were spiders?
Oh,
no.
My God. Because you wouldn't be able to catch them all. They'd go everywhere.
Yeah, that I couldn't do. I couldn't do it. So you're right. This has scarred me for life. Thank you.
I'm not trying to scar you. I'm just telling you what happened. Because that, okay. Fake tree. Team fake tree right here. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, continuing a Monday music marathon. Hey, don't go anywhere, because coming up after the garbage, we've got a brand new Murder Monday for 2019. Let's get into the garbage.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Bohemian Rhapsody won two of the biggest awards during the 2019 Golden Globe, scoring Best Drama, Best Picture, and Best Actor in a Drama. It was interesting to me that no one seemed to want to answer any questions, by the way, about the director of the film, Bryan Singer, who has been accused of sexually assaulting tons of young gay boys in Hollywood. I'm just going to throw that out there.
See,
I know
you talked about that. I saw the movie, like, not knowing anything about what you're talking about.
I refused to see it because I wasn't going to support
it. I thought the movie was incredible. I loved Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie. I thought it was great.
Probably is, but see, I won't see it because of that director.
I've heard of nothing that you're talking about.
Well, last night, Entertainment Weekly and stuff, they started to kind of slowly but surely be like, why is nobody talking about this? I'm like, because you weren't talking about it. Because you haven't been talking about it since the movie came out, which frustrates me to no end. I could talk about this forever. So much of this crap. And we're going to get into R. Kelly in a second, too. But anyway, the movie Green Book, which is a look at the friendship between a white bouncer and a black jazz musician, upset the movie Vice, the Dick Cheney movie starring Christian Bale, scored Best Comedy Award. A Star is Born only converted one of its five nominations into a win. That was pretty surprising. I thought they were going to win
more. I thought
they'd
do better than that, yeah.
They picked up Best Song Statue for Lady Gaga's power ballad, Shallow, and Taylor Swift surprised everyone by showing up to present it.
And the Golden Globe goes to Shallow, A Star is Born. As a woman in music, it is really hard to be taken seriously as a musician and as a songwriter. And these three incredible men, Andrew Wyatt, Anthony Rosamondo, Mark Ronson, standing with me, they lifted me up. They supported me. Thank you also to Ben Rice for working on this song with us. We love you. Thank you. And Bradley, I love you.
The Wife, starring Glenn Close, also took victory over Lady Gaga for Best Actress in a Drama category. Also, I've been dying to talk about this. All of this R. Kelly stuff, which I told you like a year ago, did I not? I said he is running a sex cult in Atlanta. Joe, you didn't believe me. Now finally everybody's talking about it. Mm. Well, Chance the Rapper, during all this R. Kelly stuff, because of Lifetime special Surviving R. Kelly, which I'm sure if you have not seen it yet, you can find on cable and like, or you're on demand and DVR it so you can get caught up. That was all like the last couple days of this weekend. And Chance the Rapper went on Twitter because he needed to apologize for working with R. Kelly and kind of talked about how their collaboration that they've done together was a mistake. But he like made a lot of people upset because when he was talking about working with R. Kelly, he said that like he admitted he didn't initially value the stories of the victims because they were black women or something.
Okay.
And so he had to like kind of give a statement regarding that and explain what he was trying to say.
I don't know if that's because from Chicago or because he made great music or because he's a black man. The thing is, like, we're programmed to really be hypersensitive to black male oppression. It's just prevalent.
I just, Alex, it's so hard because, like...
Nah, usually I don't do this.
But he did.
Yeah, he did. 100% he did. And this docuseries is illuminating to the massive problem. It knows no race. It knows no gender. This affects so many different people. Boys, girls, white people, black people, Hispanic people. It does not matter. There are predators out there, especially in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry, that prey on these people because they have so much money. They can pay people off. I mean, we heard from survivors in this docuseries that literally, okay, the girl that he had, I will say, defiled in the infamous tape.
Okay, yeah, the okay, yep, the
wee
wee. Yeah,
her aunt was on this docuseries talking about how it was her niece that he had did this to, had done this to, and how after this tape came out, her family still hung out with him and talked to him.
What?
And her dad or her uncle or they have other family members have been credited with like playing guitar on a bunch of his songs, like in his albums and all this different stuff, because R. Kelly pays these people like, look, like, you know, you don't get upset about this, you don't care that I did this to your daughter, to your niece, to whatever, and I'll give you credits for giving guitar on my song. I'll do these different things for you. I'll pay you $100,000.
You know what's going to make you mad?
He's been
doing this. You know what's going to make you mad? I saw that after this thing came out, and I have not watched it. I want to watch it. I really do.
It's so good.
His sales for music has went up.
Well, of course.
Isn't that insane?
Right. Well, you're driving a lot of conversation around an artist, so now
but not a positive conversation.
Like, oh. Well, yeah, it's not positive. Don't stream it because it helps him. The reason he can pay off these people and keep hurting people and getting new victims is because of the money he is making from you streaming him. Stop streaming him. Stop it, Joe.
Sorry.
And Jada Pinkett Smith also kind of talked about the R. Kelly situation.
I'm having a really difficult time understanding why, but I think it's important that I understand why. And I really don't want to believe that it's because black girls don't matter enough. Or is that the reason? So let me know.
Drake is under fire for a newly surfaced 2010 concert video where he brings a 17-year-old girl on stage in Denver, dances with her, then finds out she's 17 and says, I can't go to jail yet, man. 17, how do you look like that? You thick. Look at all this. He went on to say that he likes the way her breasts feel against his chest, by the way, in this video, and his supporters have pointed out that in Colorado, the age of consent is 17, but I do not care.
If I found out, like if I was Drake and I honestly didn't know, I thought maybe she's like a 25-year-old woman, quit talking. Like, thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
This entire conversation is weird, not to mention the fact that I talked about only a couple months ago how Millie Bobby Brown, who's what, 14?
Mm-hmm,
the Stranger Things star or whatever, she talks about how her and Drake text all the time. A grown man doesn't text a child. Grown men aren't friends with children. It's a red flag. Drake, I guarantee you we're going to start hearing more sketchy things out about him. I'm sure Kanye is waiting with bated breath for that to come out.
Nah, usually I don't do this, but...
Yeah, they all do. And then real quick to wrap up the garbage over the weekend, Kris Jenner shared a video of her daughter Kendall Jenner on Instagram talking about how last night on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kendall was going to be sharing her most raw story ever, that we should be prepared to be moved.
Bum, bum, bum.
You know what Kendall ended up sharing? Her life-changing story and reveal?
What?
That she has acne and she's going to be the new face of Proactive Acne Solution. I just can't with this family. I'm so glad Kendall was brave enough to share her story with us.
What a brave girl.
Coming up in less than an hour, this huge star may never sing again.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
All right, 7-year-old Daniel Van Dam vanished from her bed in the middle of the night. Did her parents secretly have something to do with it? This story has more twists and turns than a Chubby Checker song.
Come on, baby!
Okay, maybe that's not appropriate. That is coming up next on a brand new Murder Monday here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Murder Monday, it's brand new for 2019. As a matter of fact, guys, we got a brand new open. Are you ready for this to go into your ear holes?
Yes, you have to tell us what you think of our brand new Murder Monday opener. Tweet us at Joe and Alex Show.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips. Call this number, 800-22-TIPS. Make sure you never miss a Murder Monday episode, by the way, by subscribing to our podcast, The Joe and Alex Show. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and more. Pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast. Make sure you give us a 5-star review, too. That helps us so other people can see it, and that way they'll know about it. If you love Murder Monday and the show, it's really going to help us out, so we'd appreciate that.
I actually heard this story for the first time the other day when a different podcast covered it, and I was completely mesmerized by the details of this case, which was told on this podcast by the main FBI profiler on the case. So what was cool about it was I got to hear details from him during his storytelling that you can't find online.
Mm-hmm.
And this story sounds like a Lifetime movie, but it's real life. So I knew I wanted to talk to you about it for Murder Monday. It's the murder of 7-year-old Danielle Van Dam. Danielle's story begins on February 1st, 2002, just outside of San Diego in Sabre Springs, California. Police get a call about a missing 7-year-old girl. Her parents wake up in the morning and start making breakfast, and when they call out to her to come downstairs to eat, that's when they realize there's no answer. Danielle's parents go upstairs to find her missing from her bed, vanished in the middle of the night. Danielle and her parents live in an upper-class, fairly wealthy neighborhood. They're tucked in pretty far off the main road, which FBI investigators notice right away because there's one way in and one way out of this neighborhood. And in order to get to her house, you have to take like 9 to 11 turns off the main road.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Right. So this means it's highly unlikely that Danielle was taken by a stranger. And these are the types of things I always find interesting when discussing cases that you learn from talking to investigators and police is like the little clues like this.
Why is it highly unlikely?
Because if you are a random stranger predator, you're going to want this to be like your easiest abduction
possible.
Oh, in and
out? Okay.
Yeah, and also you're going to pick a house that's like right there off the road. Like you're going to develop a liking for a child that you want to take.
But what if you really want that child, though? What if you really, you're obsessed with
her? I mean, I guess, but like what I'm saying is it's somebody that you have easy access to seeing all the time. So mm-hmm. If her house is tucked in 9 to 11 turns deep into the neighborhood, it's not easy for an abductor to like notice her. You know what I mean?
I'd hate to deliver a pizza there. I'd get lost.
So the investigators immediately know whoever took Danielle either knows her family and is comfortable with the location because they're friends with her parents, or the suspect is living right there in the subdivision. So now the FBI starts asking about Danielle's routine and her habits. What time does she go to school? Does she go to school in the neighborhood? Does she play outside? When she plays outside, where does she play? Front yard, street, backyard? And they find out she usually plays in her backyard with her brothers, and her parents are either with them or they're watching, and that there is a 6-foot wall in the backyard surrounding the house. So it seems like we've got an upper middle class, extremely low risk victim. But actually, the parents are living a pretty high-risk lifestyle. So first of all, child abductions are incredibly rare. When they do happen, parents are always the first people you look at because of the access they have to the child.
Mm-hmm, direct.
And the pressure is building on these investigators so rapidly because in a child abduction case, 44% of kids are killed in the first hour that they're taken, 73% are killed in the first 3 hours, and 99% of kids are killed in the first 24 hours of being taken. So as police are questioning Danielle's dad, they find out some pretty shocking information, and make sure you're following along closely because every detail of this case is vital. Daniel's dad says he woke up in the middle of the night or very early in the morning because their dog had started whining in the living room. So he walks down the stairs, and that's when he says he notices that the sliding glass door is open 6 to 9 inches. So he's thinking, okay, who the heck left this open? But he doesn't really dwell on it too much because they do have an alarm system that never went off. So he's thinking, okay, my wife or one of the kids had disarmed the house or something, opened the door and left it open on accident. So he lets the dog out to go to the bathroom and then closes the sliding glass door and goes back to bed. Another important piece of information is that this dog of theirs is a designer dog. They had its voice box removed so that it couldn't bark and aggravate the neighbors, which sucks because if you wonder, I mean, it makes you wonder, like, if this dog could have barked,
you would have heard it and you'd be like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Would the parents have woken up sooner? And remember this dog, because he's going to be, or she is going to be, an important part later in the story. So investigators polygraph the parents. They interview Daniel's two older brothers. Everything is checking out. Their stories match up. But they find out that the parents have a unique marriage, if you will.
What do you mean unique?
They're swingers.
Oh.
Which basically means they have an open relationship where they have other people come over and they hook up with these other people together or sometimes separately, which is very interesting to investigators because the parents, even just engaging in this type of lifestyle, immediately puts their children at a high risk because you've got strangers coming in and out of your house all the time. And those strangers happen to be sexually adventurous, which begs the question, was someone coming over to have relations with the parents who is also interested in children? They find out that the father was home the night Daniel disappeared with all the kids, and the mom went out to a bar with a bunch of friends and brought some of those friends home. One woman goes upstairs and gets into bed with Daniel's dad, while Daniel's mom stays downstairs with the other people, and they smoked pot. So her parents also smoked weed a lot, investigators find out, which again, more details about a risky environment for kids to be in, right? Investigators look into all the people that had been in the house that night, and nothing seems to be popping up. They go outside, kind of for a breath of fresh air dealing with this case, and they take another look at the walled-in backyard, and they notice that there are neighbors on either side of the house, and they have three neighbors in the back that had views into the backyard, which makes it easy for someone to watch Danielle playing outside and start to develop fantasies about her. Well, four out of the five neighbors are home. The police interview them, they pass. But one male neighbor named David Westerfield is not home. And investigators immediately put a big star next to his name because that's weird. There's a child missing and then you're missing. Seems sketch, but okay. So they start asking other neighbors about this David dude. And they say that early that morning, he pulled this giant 40-foot RV into his driveway that he owns. Apparently, he's got two kids of his own, a boy and a girl who are older teenagers. He's divorced. And so these kids like spend some time with their mom and some time with him. And they go out to the desert all the time with like four-wheelers and like hang out and stuff.
Sounds like Breaking Bad or something.
Right. So, and they've also got a close relationship and everything sounds good there. Like, it doesn't seem like he's like a weird dad or anything. But it is strange that on a Monday morning and the morning after this girl goes missing, he loads up this stuff and leaves. And one neighbor says, what's weird is this guy is meticulous. He cuts his grass every week at the same time. He always puts things away and has a place for everything. But this morning, he fills up his water tank in the RV with his hose, and instead of putting the hose away, he leaves it out just sprawled across the front lawn and takes off.
Like what, maybe he was in a hurry or something?
In a hurry. It's also abnormal behavior for this guy. If you know, he's a super meticulous, clean, neat freak, organized guy, and for him to do something like that on the morning a girl is missing seems weird. So these are all little things that police notice. Has somebody had a change in their behavior? Did they change their appearance? Did they shave their beard off they've had for 10 years? You know, these are things that police want to know when it comes to like a kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
So police try to contact this guy, but he's totally unreachable. They do talk to his kids and his ex-wife, and they don't hear anything fishy, but they still obviously want to talk to him themselves to see what he has to say. So the FBI puts out an APB on his RV and tells local police, as soon as this guy gets home, let us know because we want to talk to him. As they're waiting for David to get home, the FBI sits Danielle's parents down separately and asks them some questions. What they find out puts neighbor David Westerfield immediately on the map as their top suspect. While they're waiting on him to get home so they can talk to him, they sit the parents down separately for another interview, which they do that because just in case one or both of them are involved, it helps to compare their interviews against each other.
Like, what's their story?
Right, exactly. So if they are, you know, canoodling together or conspiring because they have something to do with their daughter's murder, it's easy for them to keep a straight story when they're together. So that's why they separate them for this other interview. And the FBI starts to ask more about Danielle and her exposure to people like outside of their family. And the mom says, well, last week I took Danielle around our block to sell Girl Scout cookies. We went into a couple homes and nothing really strange happened until we got to the last house, which is the house right next door to us. The house she's talking about is the one belonging to David Westerfield, the missing neighbor. She says, this guy opens the door, invites us in his house to buy Girl Scout cookies, and says to me, hey, it was great seeing you at the bar last week. Are you going to be out again this weekend? Well, the backstory is, the weekend before, this mom went out to do her swinger thing, mm-hmm. and this guy David was there at the same bar and offered to buy her and her friends all a round of drinks. So they take the drinks, and David wants to dance with the mom, and she just kind of like walks away, leaving him hanging. So now They're standing in this dude's entryway, and Danielle's mom is like, oh no, my husband's taking the boys skiing this weekend to the mountains. I'm going to be home alone with Danielle. And David goes, well, why don't you just give me your number, because I host adult parties here at my swimming pool, just so you know. And she says he gives her a super creepy look. So she's like weirded out. She writes down her husband's name and phone number and gives it to him, which is essentially a super nice way of rejecting his advances, not once now, but twice.
Been there.
As this conversation is ending, the sea of media people that are out in the street parts, and David Westerfield pulls up in his RV. It's now the day after Danielle Van Dam has been taken from her bed in the middle of the night, and the media immediately swarms David. The FBI turns on the TV and just watches live as the media talks to him. They're standing in front of David's garage, and just as the news is about to ask their first question, David goes, wait, hold on a minute. He goes inside his house and comes back out with a baseball hat on and says, does this look good? Which is like, dude, WTF is wrong with you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody like that is being interviewed about a child abduction and possible murder isn't worried about what they look like. That's a weird thing.
I agree, but you don't want to look bad, though, because you're going to be everywhere. I mean, I can see that. I'm not a fashionista, but I get that.
David Westerfield, fashionista. So two child abduction experts grab him, and they ask him for consent to search his house and RV, and he agrees. He says he drove to the desert and the beach for a total of 300 miles by himself in the last 24 hours. Very weird. Police later find out that he had stopped at a gas station and paid a kid to go in and buy him a newspaper and a snack and grab a receipt, essentially trying to come up with an alibi to prove where he was while this investigation had started going on, because, you know, he wanted to be like, oh, well, look, I got this newspaper. See, I was out. I was doing, you know, whatever. One of the first things that the main FBI profiler says to the other investigators before they walk into this guy's house is Danielle has a dog that sheds. Remember, I told you this dog was going to be important. He goes, if she was anywhere in this house, there will be dog hair matching this breed. Be looking for dog hair. And looking for it in the house beyond the entryway where her and her mom had been. Remember, they were there for Girl Scout cookies. So when they go in, they see in David's laundry room that there's a huge pile of bedding from his master bedroom that had just been washed and dried. So they take out the dryer vent, and sure enough, there are dog hairs from Danielle's dog. So Danielle's dog literally helps police catch this guy. Animal Planet did an episode on this case for their show. I think it's called Animal Witness, which spotlights animals that actually help solve crimes, which I think is really cool. So this dog is like awesome.
Yeah, move over, Air Bud.
Right? They also, Lassie has nothing on this dog.
Exactly.
They also found two empty bottles of bleach and other cleaning supplies. And in the RV, there's a receipt for a laundromat. They go to the laundromat and recover clothes that he had dropped off, which are sheets and a jacket. And on the jacket, they find blood that belongs to Danielle. There's also a handprint from Danielle on the wall next to the bed in the RV. And for weeks, the entire city and law enforcement is searching and searching for Danielle's body. On February 27th, police get a call that a body is found in the desert that was in extreme decomposition. The body belongs to 7-year-old Danielle Van Dam.
Oh, man.
The decomp was actually so bad that they could only identify her by her dental records. And this was really bad because since her body was in this state, they couldn't even prove that a sexual assault had even happened, although it's very safe, obviously, to assume that it did. So this is where this story is so mind-blowing to me, that the details, I just, like, can't believe it. Even crazier is David Westerfield has a patent. Any guesses on what the patent might be on?
I'm going to say like a blood cleaning up thing, like to get rid of DNA.
Good guess. But no, it's the control system for home security systems.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which explains why the Van Dam sliding glass door had been left open, but the alarm hadn't gone off. He was able to either hack into it or disable it in some way because he was familiar with it. They also looked on David's computer, and one of the things that the FBI profiler said was that whoever the killer was probably was sexually diverse and attracted to both adults and children, which apparently is a thing. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, to me, that's not like, hey, guess what? I'm sexually diverse, baby.
Right. I thought that for sure, like, if you were a pedophile or had a thing for kids, you were only into kids. But apparently there are people that are both, which makes them harder to catch. So they look on this guy's computer, and sure enough, he has photos and videos proving that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he blames all of his child pornography on a 17-year-old son and says it must have been his. What a POS. One of the creepiest things David had was this anime porn of a creepy guy hiding in the bushes, and a little schoolgirl walks by and he abducts, sexually assaults, and kills her. And the DA ends up using this video in the trial as proof of motive. He maintained his innocence, by the way, in court, despite the fact that there was all this overwhelming evidence against him. In August of 2002, David Westerfield is convicted of kidnapping, child pornography, and first-degree murder. And during the trial, David's 19-year-old niece said that when she was 7, she spent the night at his house and was having a slumber party with his daughter, and that he had come into the room in the middle of the night, and his niece woke up to him rubbing her teeth with his finger. And she said she bit his finger as hard as she could and immediately ran out of the room and told her mom. And that when her mom questioned David, he said he was trying to get into the room to check on them, and that she bit him while he was trying to comfort her, and that the whole thing was a mistake. And then the whole thing was just forgotten.
Oh, that's so creepy.
The family never talked about it again.
How do you forget that? Some guy's like...
I don't think people want to believe that their own family could be capable, you know what I mean, of something like
that. I'm sorry, but I think once you have a kid, like, it doesn't matter if they're family or not, like, that's your kid.
Well, not like 90% of kids that are sexually abused, it is almost always someone in their family, their parents, their grandparents, someone close to them. It is hardly ever a stranger. So when you talk to your kids about stranger danger or like inappropriate touching and all that, you need to be talking to them about people that might seem like, you know, someone friendly at school or someone you know or a friend's parent or something. That's who it usually is, a stepdad or whatever. It's not usually a random guy like this. But the creepiest thing, in my opinion, that they found when searching this guy's house was that in the master bedroom, he had a bathroom with a window. And that window had a screen that had an imprint of a man's face in it.
No.
Oh.
The window overlooked Danielle's backyard, and David would press his face into that screen so aggressively and so often to watch Danielle that his face literally left an imprint into the window screen of the exact shape of a man's head.
Ugh.
That is the murder of Danielle Van Dam. You can see photos of her parents, and David Westerfield, her killer, on Instagram at Joan Alex Show. Let us know what you thought was the most interesting part of the case, and we will see you next week for another Murder Monday.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Alex. Coming up on the Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now, we're going to continue our Monday Music Marathon, but we got to talk to producer Porkchop. I guess something really embarrassing happened to you, or is it funny?
Probably both.
Oh, I love your embarrassing stories.
It involves one of you.
Oh, gosh. Great.
I feel like it involves me, but I could be wrong. We'll find out what it is coming in about 5 or 6 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It is the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, Monday Music Marathon. That's what we're doing. Hey, you can be part of the conversation anytime at 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. Also on social media, give us a follow and join in the conversation. Instagram and Twitter, same thing, at Joe and Alex Show. Support Chop, are you mad at me or Alex, or this is just embarrassing? What's your problem? What's going on?
No, I'm not mad at any of you.
Okay.
I messed up, and I did something so... No, I don't know. It was an accident, but it was so embarrassing.
Wait, like embarrassing for the show? What's going on?
No, embarrassing for me personally.
Oh, okay. But I'm fine with that.
It happened because of one of you. Let me tell you the story.
Okay.
So I, over the holiday break we just had, I moved all my stuff in a U-Haul and brought it down here. Now, where my boyfriend's originally from in Michigan, that's where we were. The guys in Michigan are very burly, like the real manly men.
Okay.
Imagine me, because I'm actually a Michigan native too.
Exactly, like Joe, you know, like they're bigger, they're stronger, they've got big beards, they're just very manly.
All the
men.
Women are attracted to them, it's really tough, yeah, I get that.
Oh yeah, so anyways, now this is important because where I got my U-Haul, this was in the smallest middle of nowhere town in Michigan called Farwell, Michigan, and it was the most Michigan guy you could think of. So I'm getting my U-Haul, and he says, okay, let's go check it out. He's like, go ahead, jump in. So it's a big U-Haul, a big one. So I step up, take one step, lean into the U-Haul, and my hoodie like kind of goes up.
Oh, no.
And my boxers were showing, It was my boxers that Alex got me for Christmas.
No way, the rainbow ones. We took a picture of Porkchop in his underwear. I got him on Instagram at Joan Alex Show.
You gotta go see that.
Gay pride boxers. So like,
and what did he say?
He under his breath, he kind of just went like. Like a
what?
And like he was an older guy, you know, and a Michigan dude, and I was so embarrassed. Like my rainbow boxers were right in his face, and he was like the biggest, you know, I don't know, just biggest Michigan burliest
manly
dude.
Man.
Yeah, he saw Porkchop like getting into it, and he's like, hey,
stop, that's gay.
And he's like, take those pants off. Exactly. So you were pretty embarrassed, and then he saw your rainbow colored boxers.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that bad, man. I thought you were gonna say like, your pants ripped and your butt cheeks came out.
I mean, that would have been better.
Oh man.
That you would have rather him actually seen your butt crack?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
I don't think it was that bad.
No?
I think you made this out to be way worse than it was.
I feel like people listening right now, 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539 could easily beat that. They've had way more embarrassing than that. I agree with Alex. I thought it was something like, oh my gosh, like you can never show your face again, but
yeah,
your boxers were shown?
You can show your face and your butt again. I think you're fine.
I mean, I don't know about all of that, but 833-JOE-ALEX, call it right now, 833-563-2539. We'd love to have you on the show and tell us what your most embarrassing moment was. I'm sure you can top Porkchop on that one, okay?
Oh, go ahead.
All right, we'll talk to you next here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Let's go to Lee this morning. Hey, Lee, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. What was your embarrassing moment?
All right, I'm going to do my best to try to make this as quick as possible. So I was like 21 years old. I was in the gym, and before I went to, you know, hit the weights, I decided to go warm up on the treadmill. Well, prior to that, I went to the restroom, and I decided to, you know, relieve myself of what I needed to relieve myself of.
Okay.
Didn't realize that I had some toilet paper stuck in my shorts. So when I went to run on the treadmill, the treadmills were kind of like in front of like everybody that is like in the weights and on stairs and on bikes. So like everyone looks at the people running on treadmills. So there was a mirror in front of me, and I saw this lady like over my right shoulder. Like I thought she was checking me out. And at this point in my life, I was all about trying to, you know, maybe get an older woman. Anyways, she's looking at me. I'm running. And all of a sudden she comes up behind me, and like, I'm like, oh, this is it. This is happening. This is awesome. And it was the exact opposite. She told me I had some toilet paper hanging out of my shorts. And, I mean, I was running for a good 10 minutes at this point.
No. So. Oh, my gosh. You look like a mummy doing some cardio or something out there.
That's correct.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. But, that's a good one, though.
But hold on. Did she have any feelings for you, Lee?
No. She, like, words out of her mouth were, you know, I'm a mother of three. I'm a nice lady. I'm not trying to degrade you or anything, but you have some toilet paper hanging down from your pants.
Thank God she said something, though. That would have been worse if you would have walked around all day like that.
Yeah, like an hour of cardio later, like
ew.
The toilet paper's catching on fire. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Lee, for sharing, man. We appreciate that. That's definitely one reason not to go to the gym, not to work out right there. Sarah's on the Joe and Alex Show. Sarah, what happened to you? Embarrassing moment.
I have two. The shortest one is falling down the escalator at the mall when I was like 16. Yeah.
Now, were you? Did
I was
you fall?
To show off.
Was it going up or was it going down?
Yeah, it was going up, and I was running down it, and I just fell. And then the second one. This is the most embarrassing one. I used to take Taekwondo, and we would do these. We had to like pause and hold your stance, and our instructor jumped at me and scared me so bad that I farted in front of the whole class. I was like 10 at the time. But when I ran, I was running into the bathroom because I was mortified. I actually hit the wall and gave myself a bloody nose.
Oh,
so on top of like being embarrassed,
So was that your last Taekwondo class?
No, I still went.
Okay, cool. Sounds like you're going for the brown belt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Taekwondo gas.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, thank you for calling in. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
833-JOE-ALEX is our number for you to be part of the show. 833-563-2539. Allie, this doesn't sound good. What's your embarrassing moment, Allie?
So I was at a party with my boyfriend at the time, and I was partying a little bit too hard. And so naturally, when you're in college, you go outside to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and I slipped and fell. And I was like, wow, that's really weird. Like, few minutes go by, slip and fall again when I go back outside to do the same thing. So I get in his car, you know, he takes me home, you know, like puts me to bed. The next morning, I put like my clothes back on and realize that I am covered from ankle to shoulder in dog excrement.
Oh,
I had been pooping and falling in dog stuff.
Oh.
And got it all over. He had bought his car a week before, and I had gotten it all over the gear shift knob,
ew,
all over the seat. And I was lying in his bed when he walks in, and he goes, "It was you." And I was like, "What? What happened?"
Oh, my gosh. How do you not smell that?
Well, I was not firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. By the way, I'm always intrigued. Allie, do you know what you drank that night to get that messed up?
It was a like celebration party, and it was champagne, and ooh. So it was like all champagne. So really bad hangover. So
that's my drink of choice.
You're probably not dating anymore, huh?
Oh, he married me.
Yeah,
oh my gosh!
Yeah,
wow, keeper.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. So he's in it to win it, man. Like, yeah, he really likes me.
And what a prize he won right there. I just imagine you in your wedding dress falling down outside, puking everywhere. Hey, Allie, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye. No offense, pork chop, but those were all better than yours.
No.
Not all of them.
They were all.
Yeah, they were all better. If you couldn't get through, let us know on Twitter, at Joe and Alex Show.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Adele shut down her touring firm, Remedy Touring LLP, leading many to believe that she may never tour again.
What?
The Hello singer warned fans she may never see them again on tour when she announced that she was taking a break 2 years ago in June of 2017, and now she applied to voluntarily liquidate her business where she registered her earnings from live performances. So that's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, like why would she do that?
Another star that is talked about doing a hiatus is Britney Spears. She announced over the weekend that she's going to do an indefinite hiatus to help take care of her father. Her dad, Jamie, was rushed to a hospital in Las Vegas 2 months ago after his colon ruptured. He immediately underwent surgery and was in the hospital for 28 days to recover. Britney said her father is doing better, but he still has a long road to recovery. And due to her hiatus, her Britney Domination Las Vegas residency that was supposed to begin on February 13th has also been put on hiatus. The residency also had dates in March, May, July, and was scheduled to end in August. Fans who purchase tickets can get complete refunds, but it isn't known if or when the dates will be made up.
I totally understand that. My grandpa actually passed away from complications like with the colon thing.
Really?
Exactly like that. Yeah, he died in the hospital from that, and it's like, thank God he's alive, and you got to put everything on hold for your family.
Yeah, she put out a sweet statement talking about how her parents have always been there for her and taking care of her. Like, if you remember her crazy 2007 meltdown, her parents, like, took charge of her finances, took care of her and all that. So she's kind of like, you know, it's time for me to pay my dad back. So be thinking of her and her family for sure. That is the garbage.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Alex. Appreciate it.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
All right, coming up next here on the Joe and Alex Show, one of my friends, and actually everybody on the show, we know her, we used to work with her, she just took a new job recently. She had something happen and I saw it on her Instagram story and I was like, okay, go play up. But also I'm wondering from a woman's perspective, like, would this creep you out? Would it scare you? Is it kind of like a cute, like a compliment? I'm going to tell you what some guy did to her when she got a to-go order. It's coming up next on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Call the Joe and Alex Show now at 1-833-JOE-ALEX. 1-833-563-2539. Call right now.
I want to hear from you at 833-JOE-ALEX, as you just heard right there. Also, on social media, Twitter and Instagram, it's at Joe and Alex Show. How you would feel if this happened to you? And I guess it could go both ways, but this situation happened where a guy ended up hitting on a girl. That girl is our friend. I'll say her name, Molly. We used to work with her. But I saw this on her story, and I actually took a screenshot of it. There's a number that we can call, but here's what went down. She went, and I won't say the location, but she got a salad at a place that makes salads. And when she opened it up, she flips the lid of like the styrofoam container. Inside's a phone number. And it was the guy.
No.
It was the guy who was there like for the to-go part.
That is disgusting.
Oh, what? It's disgusting? Wow, yeah. Okay. Why? That's not like, oh, cute, like if you're single?
No, it would have been cute if he would have given his phone number, like on the receipt or on the outside of the box. The fact that he opened the box next to the food and wrote in there, that to me, I'm like, okay, Jeremy Jerry, I wouldn't have been able to eat my salad.
It's okay, so Alex says no to Jeremy right there, or Jerry. What about you, Porkchop? Do you think that's a good move? Is that something you would do? I mean, you worked in the food industry for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, no. 10 actually.
10, okay. So you probably had a few moves.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted to, that's probably not the way I would have done it. You're right, that is slightly unsanitary.
Disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, I give him props for trying to be semi-clever or making sure she'll see it, but I guess there's better ways.
Now, I don't know. As far as I know, she's single, but I don't know if that actually worked or not, because I haven't even talked to her. I took a screenshot of her Instagram story, and I saved the number because I thought maybe we could call the person, but I don't know. We'd have to get the permission to put them on the air to see like what their intention was.
True.
Obviously,
call.
Their intention was a date. What do you mean?
But I know. Well, maybe they just wanted to hook up.
Oh.
Either way, though. So, Alex, you say, no, this is really creepy. Like, no way. Not cool.
Well, I would be grossed out. Yeah.
All right. 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. Hey, Katie, you're on the Joe and Alex show, and this happened to you. What went down?
I went to get my oil changed, and I was just waiting for my car to be done, and as soon as I went and picked it up, the guy who drove my car around walked in and, like, gave me this weird look. Like, okay, whatever. And I walked out to get my car, and he put his number. Like, you know where they put, like, your next service due on, like, those little stickers?
Yes.
He wrote his number, and he said, do you want to bang?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay, wow. The number was like maybe, but then writing that on there, then I'm out. Yeah. Then I can't even go there anymore. I'm
now, hold on, though.
Out.
Katie, did you want to bang?
No, I went to high school with this kid, and he's still an F-boy. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, all right. But at least you got the oil change. Hopefully, did he give you a discount?
Nope, sure didn't.
Maybe that's why he wrote that on there, because he actually knows you in real life. That makes a difference.
All right. Hey, Katie. That's kind of weird. Thank you for calling in.
Those stickers are so tiny. I can't even believe he fit his phone number on there.
And yeah, no kidding.
Like, the sticker is only big enough for the writing on for the oil change, you know?
There's no way he put the area code on there. He just assumed that she had the area code.
For sure.
Had to know what it was. We'll talk to you next here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It is the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, continuing a Monday music marathon. Let's get into dumb people doing dumb things. It's your dummy of the day.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
Don't get confused, but there's a guy. His name is August, like the month.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to make sure we're all following this. A guy named August tried to kidnap a woman at a strip mall. This happened in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he tried to force her into the car. But good thing for her, she was able to run away. But this guy wasn't giving up. He followed her. Well, the woman, she didn't know where she was running into, but she ran right into a karate studio.
Perfect.
Yes. The studio's head instructor was cleaning up inside.
Whoa.
When they ran right inside there, the woman ran and told him, hey, there's a guy that's trying to kidnap me. Please, please help me. So when the guy August came inside, yeah, he actually did. He saw it was the karate studio and went inside. You know it was going to happen. The instructor told him, hey, leave. Get out of here. But August started swinging at the instructor.
Oh, that was a bad move, August.
That was the dumbest move you could ever do. And, of course, that's why they're dummies of the day. The instructor beat the crap out of him so bad that August had to be taken out on a stretcher.
Whoa.
He was almost unresponsive.
Take that, young grasshopper.
Uh-huh. The crane kick will show you. He's facing multiple charges for kidnapping, assault, and more. But what are the odds, though, that she runs into a karate place?
That is an amazing Dummy of the Day story.
Come on. I just want to get a little vibe right now.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kicks go fast as lightning.
Check out the Dummy of the Day at JoeAndAlexShow.com. Call the Joe and Alex Show now at 1-833-JOE-ALEX. Call right now. 1-833-563-2539.
Hey, so glad to have you here with us. We appreciate it. Sorry we had to take such a long vacation. We'll never go on vacation again.
That's not true. That's not true.
Actually, Alex is going on vacation at the end of the week. But hey, you know what? You need it. Live the Web Girl, by the way. Live the Web Girl. The youngest one on the show, still on vacation. How is that possible? I got to renegotiate.
I don't know how that got sent through.
I need a new contract here.
Good for her, though, because isn't someone paid for it, right? Like her boyfriend or something?
I don't know.
She's in Hawaii.
I was about to say, gee, I couldn't even afford that for my honeymoon. She's going after Christmas break.
Yeah, I want to go there.
Anyways, I'm not going to be butthurt. This is actually kind of going to be a little fun exercise to get the past out of us. Get rid of it. 833-JOE-ALEX. You can join in this conversation. Give us a word. That's 833-563-2539. Going over words that need to be banished in 2019.
Oh, here we go.
The linguistics department at Lake Superior State University, that's in Michigan, way up top, just put out its 44th annual, so they do this every year, and it's kind of like a list of obnoxious, overused, and just terrible, as they say, words and phrases that we need to banish and quit saying.
Okay, good. So it's just obnoxious, annoying. I don't like it, so now you can't say
Yeah,
it.
Not like, hey, you're offending me, you're hurting my feelings
when
you say that.
It's not a threat to free speech. Okay, good.
It's not tomato, it's tomato. Don't hurt my feelings. No, none of that. And here are some of them that they have. They're saying, listen, let's leave these in the past. And this is where you join in the conversation and let us know what word you would put on there. Wheelhouse. Like, oh, that's in my wheelhouse.
I don't have a problem with that. That doesn't bother me.
That was their number one word. There's
what?
Other words that you're going to say, but yeah, I was surprised by that. Wrap my head around. Like, hey, let me wrap my head around that.
Okay.
Once
that doesn't
again,
bother me either.
Now, here's where we get into this. And this is, some of this is political, some of it's topical. Collusion. Obviously, probably thinking of Russia.
Yes, that does annoy me.
I'm done with that one. Let's see here. POTUS, FLOTUS, SCOTUS, anything to do with, like, you know, President of the United States, First Lady, whatever it is. I agree. I'm tired of that.
Well, it's easy to type. You say POTUS instead of President of the United States. It's easy. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm just over it, I guess. I'm annoyed by it. Ghosting. We all know what it is. Do we have to say it anymore?
Well, what else would you call it, though?
I don't know.
See, they don't give you an alternative term. Like, I feel like you have to say ghosting. There's nothing else you can say.
Okay, another thing they said we need to banish in 2019, and you can let us know. Join the conversation, 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. What needs to be banished for you is yeet?
Yeah.
If you don't know what that is, it's a slang term for like when you're throwing something at somebody.
That's annoying.
I'm like, duck, pork chop, yeet! But I usually don't tell you to duck.
Yeet is annoying.
Yeet! And then we hear this crap all the time. And I think it is very important. We actually all do, not just me. We all agree here. It doesn't matter what side you're on, what you believe in, you should vote. It is very important to vote just in general. Men and women fought and died for us to have that right and currently serve and protect for that. So you should vote. But the phrase, how often do we hear this? This is the most important election of our time.
They always say that. It's a scare tactic. I mean, every election is extremely important. But it's like how Chris Harrison always says, this is the most dramatic season of The Bachelor.
Yes, exactly.
Like every season is dramatic.
So will that be yours right there? You want Chris Harrison to quit saying that?
Yeah, I mean, but now he says it kind of as a joke. Like he's in on the joke. He gets why people always make fun of it.
You can make that a drinking game. Like if he says that, you got to do a shot tonight. Okay. For me, somebody brought this up. They sent me a DM over the break. I guess they heard some of our best of, and they're like, hey, Joe, you know what you say a lot? And it's probably offensive to people. I think you should quit saying it, kind of being banished. Can you quit saying butthurt?
Why is that offensive?
I don't know if it's like somebody thinks it's like me slandering somebody that's like bisexual or homosexual.
What?
No, I don't know. No,
everyone knows what it means.
Of course it is. I love saying don't be butthurt. I told my boss the other day, I'm like, quit being so butthurt. I don't think she appreciated it, but 833-JOE-ALEX. You can also hit us up on Twitter and let us know what word would it be for you that you're like, you know what, let's leave this in the past. So you're going to go with your Chris Harrison?
Well, I will say that the whole collusion thing has gotten on my last nerve. So that is a good term. I would say out of all of them, that one I could at least
collusion relate
to. I could at least be like, yeah, that's really grating on me. But what was the thing about Chris Harris? Oh yeah, this is the most important election. I mean,
yeah, like, this is the most important episode. Tonight of The Bachelor.
I didn't even think about that until they brought it up. So I'm gonna stick. I think that they had it right with collusion.
Pork chop, you're a man of many words.
Yeah, no, but I don't think I care. Like, I mean, anyone could say whatever they want, and I don't. No, words don't bother me.
Like, I remember a couple years ago, they put like fleek on there and stuff like that.
I can't even think. I'm trying to think of something that.
Wait, hold on. Fleek's not cool anymore?
Not cool anymore.
Oh, great.
The Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Hey, good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now 100.9. And we have an awesome prize that we're giving away from our friends at Sony Pictures. They've got their upcoming film, A Dog's Way. It's in theaters Friday, January 11th, which, if you're keeping track, is my mom's birthday.
Oh, snap, Melissa.
Mama, what up? This is kind of cool. It's going to make me sad. Separated from her owner, a dog sets off on a 400-mile journey to get back to the safety and security of the place she calls home. Along the way, she meets a series of new friends and manages to bring a little bit of comfort and joy to their lives. We're hooking you up right now with a $100 Petco gift card to get your furry friends ready for the new year in style. Tori, you got a little fur friend? Tori, do you have a little fur friend?
Yes, I do.
What's their name?
Josie.
Oh, is she a pussycat?
She is a big Newfoundland.
Oh, a big old dog.
That's
okay.
Giant. Yeah. It's like a horse dog.
It is. They actually can pull trailers and stuff like that. I've seen a dog leave a trailer park and they took it. It was amazing.
Yes, but I'm 5'2", so it's so funny because I have this huge dog and I'm not the biggest girl.
You better be careful. Make sure that dog doesn't get frisky.
Does your dog like to watch any certain TV shows?
No, she's not a huge. She doesn't really watch any TV too much.
I love whenever people talk about what shows their pets watch. Do Benny and Paddington have a certain show?
Oh, yeah. They really like Live PD. They're like, bite them! Bite them! They also like to watch, what is that one guy, the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan.
Oh, of course.
They bark. They're like, you don't know what you're talking about, Cesar. I don't listen to you. Well, hey, good news. I don't know if you're allowed to sneak your dog into the theater or not because it's so big, but you can go check out A Dog's Way Home, but we're hooking you up with a $100 Petco gift card.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. And check this out. You're qualified for a $250 grooming and daycare spa day for your pup.
That is awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Not a bad way to start out the new year, huh?
Not at all.
All right, Tori, hang on the line. We'll get all of your information. Hey, if you're like, well, what about me? Good news. We're doing this all this week, right around 9:50 or so here on the Joe and Alex Show. So more chances to win that $100 Petco gift card and qualify for that grand prize, $250 spa day. I would just pretend to be a dog, honestly, to go there. Like, they could massage my beard, shave my back. That'd be awesome. All right. Hey, we are out of here. If you missed anything like Murder Monday or anything else, make sure you subscribe for the Joe and Alex Show podcast and search for us in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere you can find us. And go to joeandalexshow.com for all the deets.
That's right. Have a great day.
Guys, good show today. For a little break like that, I think we did pretty darn well, okay? We'll be back tomorrow, same place, same time. Alex, Pork Chop, Live the Well Girl, who's somewhere on a plane right now going to Hawaii. I'm sure she'll do it in spirit. And myself, you know what we got to do? We got to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.